You are now tuned into CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC. Want to know more about the channel? Find us online at cjsf.ca.
Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded June 28th, 2023. Well, does the news of the world seem more to you like a Hollywood movie than a real picture of the state of the world? Could Bondian billionaire villains really be vying for not only control of the planet's governments and resources, but also for the very hearts, minds, and souls of we the people? And how could this all be happening before our eyes, while the majority of us are unaware that everything we've known is slipping away? John Stauber is an independent writer, activist, and author. His books include Toxic Sludge is Good for You, Trust Us, We're Experts, and Weapons of Mass Deception. He's also been a longtime political and media activist who spent a career exposing corporate, political, and media propaganda campaigns. John Stauber in the first half, and last week witnessed a media circus hardly equaled in this century. It's all surrounding the march on Moscow of the contract mercenary Wagner Group, and even now pundits and Russia experts are struggling to make sense of what, were he running a Midway food truck today, Churchill might describe as a riddle-wrapped mystery meat sandwich served up in a hot enigma sauce. John Helmer is a journalist and author who spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. Principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears, Helmer has too been a professor of political science, sociology, and journalism, and served as advisor to governments at the highest levels. Among his many book titles are Skripal in Prison, The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, The Jackal's Wedding, American Power, Arab Revolt, The Lie That Shot Down MH17, and his latest, Australian Fascism, How It Destroyed the Courts. John's been following the astonishing events within Russia over the last week and provides some context in the second half. But first, John Stauber and revealing America's hardly visible oligarchy. Well, welcome to the program, John.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, and it's fantastic to talk to you after what's almost 25 years now. John, it's all on the press now, these foreign directed election interference campaigns. They've been a big story in U.S. politics since Hillary Clinton's ignominious loss to the huckster Donald Trump in 2016. And it's been picked up in Canada and other places too since this tactic. But nothing foreign nations can do really compares with the effect billionaires have right now in your country and mine, especially those of one particular man's organization, the Open Society. Can we start, John, with George Soros? Just who is he and what's his society up to?
Well, that's an excellent question. And I wish a lot more people would ask themselves that question. It's a verboten question for liberals, progressives, and leftists, because the immediate response from the massive army of Soros minions in the media and the hundreds of nonprofit organizations and causes he funds is that if you raise Soros' name, you're an anti-Semite. The reason for that is because it's a wonderful defense against criticism. It puts people back on their heels, and they don't go there. And also many people on the right who are anti-Semitic have tarred Soros. But that doesn't hide the fact that Soros is probably the most important political billionaire of the last 25 years because of the power he's amassed and the organizational structure he's put together that has been able to affect political change in countries around the globe. And that beginning in about 2003, he focused on North America and especially the United States. Soros has an amazing background. He was a teenager in Hungary in 44, a rich family's son. His dad was an attorney, a Jewish family. The Nazis began shipping Jews to death camps. Soros' father was able to bribe an official into creating a false identity for his son. He passed as a Christian, and as a teenager, he was recruited in confiscating with others, officially, Jewish property from Jews being thrown onto trains and sent to their death at the hands of the Nazis in death camps. You can imagine what that might do to the mind of a 14-year-old. He went after the war into economics, and he wasn't especially visible until he became a hedge fund trader. And by then he was a billionaire and highly respected, especially after he collapsed the British currency by betting against it. He's a ruthless hedge funder, a ruthless, brilliant investor. He takes no prisoners when it comes to investing. He started his foundations about 30 years ago. And Soros learned that by building an empire of nonprofit organizations, what he called civil society organizations, promoting what he termed an open society, he could have a tremendously powerful influence waging the political wars he wanted to wage, especially in Europe, where he was a ruthless investor, exploiting with the help of the Clintons, the collapse of the Soviet Union, and in the Eastern Bloc countries in Ukraine. He's had a deep hatred for what he calls authoritarian societies, especially the former Soviet Union and Russia and China. And back about 20 years ago in the United States, he began funding a network that includes the Liberal Tides Foundation out of San Francisco and the Democracy Alliance, which is scores of millionaires recruited into funding with Soros nonprofits. The nonprofit organization has become sort of the preferred vehicle of choice for liberal capitalists who control the Democratic Party to be able to create propaganda campaigns and grassroots appearing front groups for the Democrats that promote an agenda that benefits the Democratic Party. It's easy to hide money in nonprofits, and nonprofits can collaborate and work together. And so over the last 20 years, he's created a huge network of scores of organizations globally with his many various forms of Open Society Foundation. He's well-connected and a promoter of the World Bank and of the World Economic Forum. And in 2014, after decades of exploiting Russia and Ukraine, he was deeply involved in the activities that led to the American coup overthrowing the Ukraine government and putting in an anti-Russian government. He's an old man now. He's in his 90s. And just last week, the Open Societies informed the press that he was passing on the reins of his business and political and nonprofit empire to his 37-year-old son, Alexander Soros, who's been brought up in all this and well-trained in it. What's extremely disturbing about what Soros has accomplished in the United States is that back during the Iraq War, which some of your listeners may actually remember, in 2003, when after a year and a half of massive false but effective media and political propaganda, the Bush administration, with the support of leading Democrats such as Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Joe Biden, launched an illegal attack on Saddam Hussein in Iraq, everything really went to hell in the Middle East and in the United States. And out of that arose a pretty strong peace movement as people realized the war had been built on lies. And by 2006, that huge grassroots peace movement succeeded in taking over the Congress for Democrats and immediately began pressuring the Democrats to cut off the funding for the Iraq war. A Soros organization, at the time it wasn't known publicly, but an organization that was recognized by the press as the leader of the that big peace movement, MoveOn.org, but a Soros front for the Democratic Party that had already received millions and millions of dollars from Soros, changed its tune and cut a deal with Nancy Pelosi. They had a massive email and mailing list and basically said to Pelosi, we will support whatever you want to do. We are not going to join this big anti-war movement that we ourselves are in the lead of and try to force the Democrats to cut off funding for the war. We trust you, Speaker Pelosi. So the Soros-funded Democratic Front Group with Pelosi gave George Bush money beyond what he wanted to continue the war, basically as a political weapon, because the previous election in 2006 showed how unpopular the war had become. And the Democrats realized that if they just continued to give the Republicans in the White House enough rope, they'd hang themselves. And of course, it worked out wonderfully for the Democratic Party, because in 2008, a supposedly anti-war candidate by the name of Barack Obama upset Hillary Clinton's apple cart and got the Democratic nomination and was elected president. And it looked like hope and change had come to America. But the first thing that Obama did with his Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and his Vice President Joe Biden was to announce, even before he was sworn in December of 2008, that there would be no investigation of the massive bipartisan government and media propaganda campaign that had caused America to be lied into going to war on Iraq. That got very little notice because the progressives had basically jettisoned their anti-war facade by then. They were all behind Obama. Massive amounts of money were flowing into their organizations to work with the Democratic administration. And so here we are today. Let's just move forward. We're doing this interview in the summer of 2023. The United States and Russia and the world are closer to nuclear annihilation than we've ever been. A completely unnecessary war was forced on Russia by Democrats and Republicans pushing NATO right up against Russia's border, surrounding it with missiles, fueling a war in Ukraine, in the Russian-speaking areas of Ukraine. And there is no peace movement. The much-vaunted U.S. progressives, the AOC crowd, the Bernie crowd, are just sitting on their hands. Not a single Democratic politician has spoken out against this war, which is really George Soros' war and really Joe Biden's war. They met over Ukraine. They met in Ukraine. Biden is up to his chin in corruption with his son in Ukraine. But the mainstream media, after the Trump surprise election in 2016, has swung so hard into the Democrats' Soros camp, especially the so-called liberal media, the Rachel Maddow gang, and also the so-called alternative media like Mother Jones, Democracy Now!, The Nation, all of which have long received substantial millions from the Soros network, that here we sit with no real anti-war movement. And it's an amazing moment. I'm just going to really date this podcast. It's an amazing moment because now we have the peace candidate, the anti-pandemic lockdown candidate, Robert Kennedy Jr., announcing he's going to try to win the Democratic Party nomination, even though he's detested by the progressives, by the Soros Democrats, by Biden. And yet he, because Biden is so clearly senile, corrupt, and weak, Kennedy is vaulted to over 20% in the polls, even though people like Sanders endorsed Biden a month ago, and Kennedy is the object of a huge progressive damn mainstream media smear campaign. And the Democrats themselves are saying there will be no debates this year. So it's just an unbelievable moment in history right now. And this billionaire, George Soros, has been absolutely instrumental in bringing us to the precipice of nuclear holocaust, and also in co-opting and taking over what 20, 25 years ago was a promising progressive movement and turning it into a bunch of pro-war shill organizations and media for his Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's crushing to one side of the political debate, for sure. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm talking today with John Stauber. John is an independent writer, activist, and author. His books include Toxic Sludge is Good for You, a classic, Trust Us, We're Experts, and Weapons of Mass Deception. He's been a longtime political and media activist. As you can tell, he's spent years over his career exposing corporate political and media propaganda campaigns. You sent me a link to a mid-90s, by the looks of it, 60 Minutes interview with Soros, and he put up his hands, and he put up his hands and says, oh yeah, George Soros gets blamed for everything. How much can we blame him for the wretched state of the Democratic Party when Bill Clinton, where Soros was most deeply involved, he turned the progressive ethos on its head. He was followed in his crapulence by Obama and, as you mentioned, Bernie and AOC. One by one, every single Democrat has turned. And now Kennedy, and I know that you're a supporter of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s run, but last week he sort of threw Roger Waters under the bus and the Palestinians as well. How can we expect that Robert Kennedy would be any different from the Democrats that preceded him with the hope and change message when and if he should get into power?
Well, I don't think we can. I agree with you. But I look at Robert Kennedy and I see the terror in the eyes of the mainstream Democratic Party, because while he is totally on board with his terrible positions on Israel, for example, and he's from one of the wealthiest families in the nation, he's also completely wedded to some positions that are extremely promising and threatening to the status quo. And if he beats, 1,000-1 odds and is able to take the nomination of the Democrats, it will be a new day. I don't believe in saviors, political or religious, but he is pledged to stop the war against Russia. He's pledged to investigate the pandemic lockdowns and policies that led to just abject failure and a new kind of what one writer in the 80s called friendly fascism out of so-called liberals like Trudeau and Biden. You know, you've got to, I think, look at Kennedy as a huge disruptor. And you may not like and agree with your cellmate, but if they're able to rip the bars off the jail cell, who knows, you and your comrades can rush through it.
If they deliver you to the outside, I mean, he's being accused And I agree that the accusations are meaningless at this point, but of being doing what Sanders did is just sheepdogging the so-called progressives. I got to admit, I'm at a loss to understand what these terms even mean anymore.
Well, I don't think, pardon me for interrupting, but I don't think Kennedy will try to sheepdog. He might. There's no way they're going to give him the nomination. And so they may throw him some bones and he may say, come along, everyone, vote for these Democrats. But after what people have been through with the farce of Bernie Sanders, this sheepdog ain't going to be able to herd many people. There's a lot of stuff being thrown at Kennedy right now. But again, I see him as a fragger of the Democratic Party.
You gotta explain for the people younger than you and me what that means.
Well, when I tell young people this, they look at me like, you are friggin' kidding me. That never happened. But, you know, the Vietnam War was really shut down by the draftees who turned on their officers. And by the early 70s, gung-ho U.S. officers who just flew over fresh from the States trying to force these hardened draftees into fighting and dying in this totally unwinnable, never should have been fought, we are on the wrong side war in Vietnam, simply handled that by rolling grenades under the tents of their officers.
Fragmentation grenades.
Yes, and literally hundreds of officers were murdered by their own troops. Frag is a term to describe when somebody blows it all up, and that's basically what Kennedy's doing, and I'm sort of enjoying watching these attacks on him. You know, my main vehicle right now is Twitter, and I've been what they call shadow banned on Twitter since I went on it in 2009. My tweets go nowhere except to, as Phil Oakes said, a small circle of friends, apparently. But I find that you can really dissect and analyze a lot of politics by seeing who's tweeting what. They reveal themselves pretty quickly, and especially the Soros groups, which are fairly easy to identify. There are hundreds and hundreds of them. So if anyone's interested in following what I'm looking at these days, they'll have to stay on Twitter and look at John Stauber on Twitter. That's actually my handle. You can just find me as John.
That's S-T-A-U-B-E-R. Yeah, and you've got a long thread here on the Soros thing. The shadow banning, for those that are late to the technology revolution, is that Elon Musk is now taking it over. Ralph Nader wrote a book positing that perhaps the billionaires like Soros could save America. I guess he must have been in a very desperate moment. Now what we're getting instead of billionaires as saviors is billionaires as cage fighters. What's your reaction to the Musk v. Zuckerberg cage match?
I hope it's a duel to the death. First of all, on Ralph, who I knew well back in 2000 when he asked me to be one of his official endorsers, he's proven to be a huge disappointment. He was never even able to join the Green Party, which he ran on. He begged for a billionaire to save America. I think it was a little wink-wink, because Ralph's main organization that he started, Public Citizen, is now funded by Soros. Oh, so I guess Ralph got his wish.
Well, and that is really the ultimate disappointment to me. I've often said that Nader is the greatest American of the last century, and to see that, maybe the second greatest is the late Phil Oakes, the singer, and you mentioned that, his quote about just a small circle of friends. I was at the Quaker House last night to meet an anti-war, or to listen to my friend, Dimitri Lascaris, an anti-war activist up here who's being chased from venue to venue as he goes across the country after visiting Russia on his own dime as an individual citizen to forge peace, and he's now going across with making peace with Russia one handshake at a time, and we're dodging right-wing or reactionary Canadian Ukrainians. And it came up in that meeting that here we were, a small circle of friends, because we had to hold the meeting in secret because for fear of our little gray-haired Quakers being roughed up or something else. But this is the state of Canada today. John, we're sadly fast out of time. Didn't get to everything we wanted to. Can you reiterate, though, please? Because, I mean, the whole media thing, you were such a big force in media before you retired and now reduced to your shadowy self on Twitter. Again, John Stauber, at John Stauber, S-T-A-U-B-E-R, where you can follow John's work and his support of the Kennedy candidacy. Is there another way people can source your work, maybe buy your books?
Well, all the books are still in print. I would say, you know, just Google, of course. God forbid.
Yeah, Google too.
Just do a search on my name, J-O-H-N-S-T-A-U-B-E-R. You'll find the books. But if you want to get into a dialogue, open a Twitter account or use your Twitter account at John Stauber. You know, Friends Committee on National Legislation is a nonprofit in Washington that represents the Quakers. Guess who they get funding from?
No, Richard Nixon.
George Soros. the architect of, war on Russia. The level of corruption and takeover of the progressives and the peace movement and the environmental movement by Soros's billions is really hard to fathom, but you won't read about it in any of the left press. The right reports on Soros, but of course not the left, because they're too busy begging for his money.
Yeah, and then anybody who does gets accused of being a right-wing nut conspiracy theorist. John, I hope we get a chance to speak again. I want everyone to stick around. John Helmer's coming straight up, and you know John well if you've listened to this program, and we're going to talk about this, the mad week that was in Russia and what it might pertain. And for the first time ever, I've seen John is even at a bit of a loss to understand exactly everything that's going on. Thanks again, John Stauber, for coming on, though, eh?
Chris, let's do it sooner than later. Thanks a lot.
Before 25 years gets behind us again. I don't think I got that many left in me. Okay, John.
I don't. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot.
Their message always to everybody through all their advertising, all their PR, everything is, we are your friends. And it's like, no, you are not our friends. Friends are not people. Bottom line is how much profit they can make out of you. It is completely different.
Guerrilla Radio, knowing who our real friends are since 1999.
We're running out of time to put out a fire.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, last week witnessed a media circus hardly equaled in this century. It's all surrounding the march on Moscow of the contract mercenary Wagner Group. And even now, pundits and Russia experts are struggling to make sense of what, were he running a Midway food truck today, Churchill might describe as a riddle-wrapped mystery meat sandwich served up in a hot enigma sauce. John Helmer is a journalist and author who spent decades living in and reporting from Russia, principal behind the web news site Dances with Bears. Helmer has, too, been a professor of political science, sociology, and journalism, and served as advisor to governments at the highest levels. Among his many book titles are Skripal in Prison, The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, The Jackal's Wedding, America. Revolt, The Lie That Shot Down MH17, and his latest, Australian Fascism, How It Destroyed the Courts. Welcome back to the program, John.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for coming. Hey, John, now I feel like I've just come off the roller coaster at the Midway after one of Winnie's ill-advised sandwiches. What's the latest on Prigozhin, on the Prigozhin saga? I guess, can we begin with where is he actually? Do we know?
We're not sure where he is. The press reporting in Moscow says that he has taken up residence in Belarus. People who make their occupation tracking